then the problem is you turn 18 and now you're kind of off on your own, or at least, you know, getting there, right? And like, a rock's not gonna just fall out of the sky and bonk you on the head and like give you all the knowledge you need about money. Like, that's not exactly how it works. And so you have to be pretty intentional about trying to figure some of this stuff out and really ask hard questions and think about it. And I think just so many people don't go through that process of even understanding, like, what is it I even want? Like, what, how am I gonna use money? Cause it's really just a tool, right? It's like a fake made up thing that is just a tool to get us to where we wanna be in life.
Exactly, it is a tool, and I don't think everybody sees it that way. I didn't even feel, when I was younger, even today, I feel insecure for some reason about always having enough. Am I ever gonna have enough money? I think about that, it's like a fear, and it drives me. What I learned over time, and I think this is a big takeaway for everybody, is your money does what you tell it to do. And if you don't tell it to do anything, it just disappears. It gets spent. And so you have to have some kind of a plan and a strategy to tell your money where to go, what, you know, how to be saved, or how to pay off, you know, a mortgage for a house, or whatever you're doing with that money. And so there's actually a result that comes from that money.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. Today we have a John on with us, and he's actually also in the mortgage space like I am, has been in for a very long time. He's a very unique and interesting guy. And so welcome to the show, John. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you're excited to be on the show today.
Hey Jax, thanks for having me. I'm a sales director for Service First Mortgage based out of Dallas, Texas. Like you said, I've been in the business a long time, I think since 1997, which is wild. I've seen a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, I think if I look at your show and learn about what you guys are doing, I'm really excited just to talk a little bit about money and how I think people can think about it and get their mindset around it. And even think deep about why you have beliefs you have about money, probably. Those are some things that I think will be made for an interesting conversation. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you're so right. I mean, we talk a lot on the show about intention and, you know, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to go? And I think so many people, when it comes to money in general, first of all, I joke all the time that we never really get taught much about money. And so a lot of times as parents, we're not doing a really good job of like having conversations. One, because I feel like in some ways we're a little bit embarrassed ourselves that like we don't know as much as we feel like we should know. But then the problem is you turn 18 and now you're kind of off on your own, or at least, you know, getting there, right? And like, a rock's not gonna just fall out of the sky and bonk you on the head and like give you all the knowledge you need about money. Like, that's not exactly how it works. And so you have to be pretty intentional about trying to figure some of this stuff out and really ask hard questions and think about it. And I think just so many people don't go through that process of even understanding, like, what is it I even want? Like, what, how am I going to use money? Cause it's really just a tool, right? It's like a fake made up thing that is just a tool to get us to where we want to be in life.
Exactly. It is a tool. And I don't think everybody sees it that way. I didn't even feel, when I was younger, even today, I feel insecure for some reason about always having enough. Am I ever going to have enough money? I think about that. It's like a fear. And it drives me. What I learned over time, and I think this is a big takeaway for everybody, is your money does what you tell it to do. And if you don't tell it to do anything, it just disappears. It gets spent. And so you have to have some kind of a plan and a strategy to tell your money where to go, what, you know, how to be saved, or how to pay off, you know, a mortgage for a house, or whatever you're doing with that money. And so there's actually a result that comes from that money. I learned it when I was younger. I would get money and I think I would have enough, and then I wouldn't. And I wouldn't understand why sometimes. And so one thing I did is I used Quicken at a really young age. And what I would do is I would forecast, I would pretend I would get my paychecks for the next 90 days, and I would put it all in there like I've already received it. And then I would put the bills in that I was going to spend. You know, I was young and I didn't quite understand how I was forecasting my money. I just knew that I needed to have enough. And what that showed me was how much extra money I have. If I want to go out to dinner with my friends, do I have enough money to do that? And then I realized I was spending more money than what I really should have been, because I didn't have enough for my bills all the time. But it was like my way of budgeting, which is, you know, kind of a different way. Forecasting it out the way I was doing it in Quicken was just a little different way And so I became my thing. I literally sit down and do it to this day. I kind of project out my money all the time. I know the balances in my accounts at any given moment. I know the dollars coming in. I know how much I make. I know where that money's going. And I've been so intentional for years about it. And I get passionate about this. When I start talking to my kids or talking to their friends or even people that were counseling in our business to, you know, buy a house, it's like you've got to have a plan for how you're going to spend this money.
Yep. I think a lot of people don't, you know, they first of all, when we talk about intentionality with money, I think it's easy to pick some of the really big things, right? Like, I want to own a house. I want to whatever, right? And like to think intentionally about the big things. The thing that always helped me be successful with money when I was fairly young is also I set all sort of kind of goals, right? Like all sort of kind of intentions when it came to monetary, you know, things, not just money, other kind of goals too. But I was like, I literally had a little planner, and in the back of my planner, I had all of my yearly goals, and they were a lot of really small ones and a lot of really large ones, right? So like one of my goals might've been that I had a credit card that I wanted to make sure that I got paid off or paid down a certain amount, right? And like, that was very clearly lined out. And like, this was my intention. I wanted to do this or whatever, right? And then I had the really big goals, like, you know, some really large sum of money that I wanted to amass into investments or into my savings account or whatever, as well as maybe, you know, buying a house or things like that. And I found that not only creating the big and the small, but then the ability to do those check marks, right? Like, hey, I did this, and checking it off. Because what we don't realize is that actually each and every one of us, you were making the comment that insecurity with money, I think most people are insecure with money, even those of us who really have a very clear understanding of how it works, right? You know, all the mechanics behind it. However, the reason that we always are going to have like kind of that initial gut like feeling of like insecurity is a scarcity mentality that we're literally all built with. Like, it's a survival aspect of what's happening in our brains. And so often we think that that makes us less than, like, yes. Oh, well, see, I must not be good with it because I have this negative like insecurity surrounding it. So I must not be good. And it's purely not true, right? Like, that's literally just, you know, that's just something that you're sort of built with as a human. And so we have to then learn with like tools like what you said, right, to learn to be intentional and to break this myth and to show ourselves, to give visible proof, like, look, see, I am good with money, maybe not where I want to be, and that's fine. Yes. But like, I am headed there, right?
Yeah, I think about, you know, my kids a little bit, we kind of talk about this. I paid my kids to read The Compound Effect at a young age.
I love that.
By Darren Hardy, because it teaches you how just a little bit of money over a long period of time really adds up, you know, and that's a great book. Then we kind of progress, and I've had them read The Psychology of Money. And so you look at that book, it's an amazing book. That's only a few years old. And you start to learn about how and why money works and how you can use it to your benefit. It's a great another resource. But then now today we have social media, and it puts a lot of pressure. If you want to judge yourself against other people's, you know, images that they put out there, I would challenge you to go read The Millionaire Next Door, because it's an anti-social media. The Millionaire Next Door talks about the neighbor that doesn't live in the fancy house. That's the millionaire, and you wouldn't even know it, you know? And so you can only judge yourself off your own savings, your own efforts, in what you're doing. You can't base your success off people's Instagrams. And my kids and I talk about that a lot. I seem to be referencing them a lot, but that's where my lessons are coming. As much as in our business, we talk to our customers all the time, and it's still there. You can get real personal with your kids. So that's probably why I keep going back to them. And we talk about it, you know, you see a fancy car. Oh, that's $1 million car. It's a $300,000 car. Oh, they must have this money. You don't know. Being in our business, that's the one thing. We pull the curtain back, and you get to see how people spend their money. And a lot of people live a lavish lifestyle, but they literally are a paycheck away from being broke a lot of times.
Well, for sure.
And so you've got to figure out what's the right lifestyle and balance, and how do you want to spend your money that's going to work for you. Everybody's a little bit different, but you know, it's also never enough. I remember thinking, if I just had $1,000 in my savings account, you know, I would feel great.
I'd be good.
you know, and then it, that number always is a moving number, no matter how much you have. And so you got to get your head around it and not judge your whole life success off of your bank account. Also, I know I've had to be at some funerals, and I know there's not a single funeral I've been at or any tombstone I've read that talks about the amount of money that that person had. You know, sure. So when you really get centered on what's the most important thing in life, money's the tool to have all those experiences that people remember when you're not here anymore. I don't know what it's bringing out. That's a lot of stuff we just said to bring it in full circle, probably.
No, for sure. Well, and I mean, I talk a lot of the people that I talk to, they are women, and a lot of women specifically, they're very much judging themselves against, you know, that social media kind of aspect. And a lot of people are very successful monetarily, right? Like from the face, but they're behind the scenes struggling and feeling like, oh my gosh. And it's so funny, when I was struggling to understand, you know, why mortgage was so scary to people, right? Like I went through this phase where I just didn't understand this concept. And I think it's because I'm a very transparent person. So for me, I'm like, look, if they're going to judge me, they're going to judge me. And it just kind of is what it is. And so I don't really have a problem like pulling back the curtain and just like showing like it is what it is. Like, here it is, right? But I never really thought about how much that is the case with us, right? I mean, the reason that people don't want to have conversations so often with mortgage people is because we feel so scary, right? That we are going to see, like you said, we're going to see, is it really on paper what they've been projecting to the world, or even potentially better, or is it the opposite? They're keeping up with the Joneses or making it look like everything is beautiful and peachy and fabulous. And then on the back end, it's not really what it needs to be or what it should be. Right. And for me, I feel like a lot of people, unfortunately, are doing a lot of the things that are driving them on the outside because of some of this societal pressure, right? Yes. They feel like, oh, I need to drive the big fancy car. Why? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a big fancy car. I mean, trust me, at one point in time, we owned a Porsche Panamera Turbo, right? Like over $100,000 car, like a very expensive, very nice car. I like nice cars. There's nothing inherently wrong with them. But at some point in time, that's not necessarily always going to be the driver, right? Like when we reach a different phase of our lives and we had the child we never thought we were going to have, the big expensive Porsche didn't really seem so amazing anymore, right?
It didn't matter anymore.
Really very, 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 very important. And so I think that so oftentimes we are pushing on societal pressures. We are feeling the need to keep up with the Joneses. You and I were talking briefly about one of the things that I'm most passionate about, which is so many people right now are going into mountains of debt over going to school. And they have no idea why they're even going to school, what they want to do with school, how it looks. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with education. There's nothing wrong with education. But if you have no idea, like what you want to do, how you want to use it, how that's going to further your life and your career, I'm like, what was the point?
Yep. I agree with you. I saw a headline today on Google that just said Microsoft is doing free classes and giving certifications that recruiters value. And it kind of, you know, I just remember that headline. I didn't even read the article, but I believe it. There is a lot of opportunity out there right now for people, and you don't have to have a degree. Look at our business. I mean, I interview people all the time. I don't care if they have a degree. I care if they have mortgage experience is what I care in our industry. Oh, sure, it's nice. And I understand if you're young and you've graduated, there's a value to that, but it's not that important. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to be successful. It's not the true indicator. I have two kids. One is 25 and one is 20, almost 22. One of them is a ski instructor. He's going back to Switzerland this year in France for a whole different career path. He went to school for 3 years to be an artist, a graphic designer, and went to sit down with somebody in Canada, actually, and sat there for a whole day and said, I can never do this job for 10 hours a day. When he really saw what was involved. And then AI is kind of changing it. And so he spent probably 3 weeks soul searching. What does he want to do? And he kept coming back to ski instructor. He's like, Dad, you're not going to like what I want to do. Because it's not like every parent's dream, because it feels like that would be a short-term thing. But he wants to make this a career. We got behind him. We got him certified. We sent him to the ski school. He's 3 years into it and he's making a career of it, you know, and he's going to get paid well. And he's going to figure this thing out and he's not going to have a degree, but he's going to be fine. You know, on the flip side, my daughter's going down a different path. She wants to be in hospitality and work at Disney World. And she went and got in the Disney College program. Now she's just found out, I think she's going to be the ambassador at North Texas for Disney. But she's going to have a degree and she's going down this different path because that's good for her and where she's headed. That makes sense. There's an actual plan. Don't you think that the kids are going to college because they don't know what to do? And so that's just the next step. And whether it's the right thing or not, like they need to figure out sometimes where they're going instead of just spending money aimlessly because they don't know, you know, where to go. I think that's what I see is it's just something to do until they figure it out, I guess.
Well, that, and I think we as a society have told them it's the only way to reach success is that like without a degree, you can't reach success. And to your point, I mean, we have tons of people in our industry that are making multiple six figures who may not even have a real high school education. Like they may have a GED and it doesn't really matter, right? Like that's not the indicator. The lagging indicator is not like, oh, well, they went to school and so like they're going to be successful in mortgage land. Like that has nothing to do with it, right? And so it's crazy to me how much this narrative getting pushed, considering the amount of content and education that is now available via the internet, be it either certifications or different kind of educational books, right? Like different kinds of courses that you can purchase and they give you like a really good understanding of exactly how to do this specific thing or whatever. And so it's very crazy to me that we have so much push this way. So there's an organization here in the Dallas area. It's called Foundation for Choice. And basically what it is they go into inner city schools and they teach about, you know, what's the next phase? And so like, how do we look at education and all these other things or whatever? And I was involved. And one of the things that I talked to my mentee about a lot is that, you know, we looked at all of her schools that she really wanted to go to, and then we broke them all out. And then I was like, okay, now we need to look at the money. How much is it going to cost to do all of these things? Because as anybody who listens to podcasts knows, I'm very pro-education. I mean, I hold a law degree, so I have over 7 years of formalized education, right? But I also know that costs a lot of money, right? I mean, it's very, very expensive and it doesn't always yield the results that you think it will. And that was basically my point to her is I'm like, hey, you need to pull back the curtain and kind of look at this. And when she really looked at it, she was like, oh, well, if I continue going to Dallas Community College, which is where she was going part-time while she was in high school, I can get my associate's degree. I think actually the degree she wanted to get her main degree in was at Dallas County Community College. So she was like, I could get this. It'll be fully paid for with all the different grants and things I'm going to receive. And I basically can come out with zero debt. Right? Yeah. For what she wanted to do. And I was like, whatever path you pick, it doesn't matter to me. I just want you to go in eyes wide open. So my encouragement to anybody listening who is considering college or has kids that are considering college, first of all, you should be having some real conversations with them about what it is they want. And you should actually listen as a parent. I know we all want our kids to be wildly successful and we all have an idea in our head, whatever that is, of what that actually is, right? Whether it be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or I don't know, whatever it is, right? Entrepreneur, whatever that goal is. But we should be having conversations. Good for you guys and for your son for stepping back and saying, hey, I don't really want to go down this path. Like, this is going to make me miserable. Like, I don't want to do this, Dad. Thinking about what he wanted to do and having the ability to have that conversation with you and that you didn't tell him, no, absolutely not, right? Like, you're not allowed to go be like a ski instructor's son.
Right.
Because a lot of parents would do that too. And as parents, we shouldn't be doing that, right? Our path is not to like put the
ball in their dreams. A lot of us want to live vicariously through our kids the life that we wanted. And then you can't do that, you know.
Nope.
But I have some real practical advice that I give my kids that help. One of the things I asked them to do was to reach out through LinkedIn to people that have the jobs that they want and have conversations with them.
I love
you know,
that.
When my son was going through art school, he was reaching out to people that were the graphic artists that he wanted. And he started building the network of people that were successful. And he started asking questions. And then going into the ski instruction program, he was able to find some people that could coach him on the best certification to get, you know, that type of thing.
For sure.
And sometimes you find out like the path you think is the right path may not be the right one, you know.
Correct.
If you will. But I think what's been happening for my kids is they're learning to like get onto LinkedIn, because I'm a LinkedIn guy, and make these connections and like have these real conversations. And it's not only is it planting seeds for career opportunities, but it's opening the door to real conversations. And these people, they're willing to give advice and give direction, you know, because everybody wants to help, especially if a young kid is asking. And so I just think that's an untapped, unutilized source of free information to make real connections. So something
no,
very
that.
Practical people could do.
Well, not only that, but like you said, your son sat down with somebody and saw basically what they did, and it made him realize. Like I say all the time, because of course, being a yes. lawyer is like one of those things that I think a lot of people have in their head of like what they want their kids to do succeed. And so there's so many young people I've had conversations with that they're like, oh, I want to be a lawyer. And I'm like, and I always say to them, that's amazing. That's awesome. And I'm like, first of all, understand it is a lot of education, right? And that's definitely not for everybody, first of all. And it is a lot of expense. It's not cheap to go ahead and get a law degree. Like, unless we're getting tons of scholarships, it's a very expensive like line of education. But I tell them, before you go down that path, before you spend all that money and do all those things, I would love for you to go work for a law firm. Go and like intern there or see what kind of jobs you could hold, because they have tons of positions that you may need or want, and go see like what your options are. Because first of all, there's a lot of misnomers in the space. Number one, a ton of attorneys don't make as much money as you think they do. Okay. So if right. you're only seeing dollar signs, like that's definitely not the reason to do it, because some people make a ton of money and some people don't make that much money, right? No different than most jobs, right? Some yeah. people make a ton of money and some people don't make so much money. And then like you said, you know, I suggest that they go actually get a job there, but your suggestion is great too, right? Go shadow somebody. I mean, most people, if they're kind people, would totally let somebody shadow, right? Like if any...
Yeah.
If somebody asks you or I, hey, could I come and shadow you for like a day or something like that? Or just take you to lunch and pick your brain, like I'll buy your lunch. Like any of us are going to say yes, right? Like we absolutely want to help, give information, see if we can do something. And so I think so often that you're right. Kids are going into this because they have no idea and they have resources. They just haven't really tapped them. And so for younger people listening, that's a good way. But for parents, encourage your kids to do some of these kinds of things or whatever. Because again, this goes back to money being intentional, right? We need to be intentional with how we spend it, how we save it, all of the things. And we don't necessarily need to go down the traditional path if that's not where we're being led, right? Like what's going to fit our world.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. HouseU, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with HouseU. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Yep, I agree. I think this, go back to this idea of your money does what you tell it to do. You know, in mortgage, we have a lot of expenses that move. Our insurance is going up every year like crazy.
For sure.
We got to anticipate that. We've got to think about car insurance. We got to think about our kids and all these things that we got to anticipate. So we've got to plan for that. Otherwise, I see so many people that are just scrambling and they're like a duck. You know, they're calm on the surface and paddling like heck underneath the water. I've sought out a financial planner. I sit down every 6 months with he and my wife and I, and we go through every single bill. You know, how much is your electric bill running? How much is this? And it just holds you accountable to know your numbers and also make sure that the plan that you're aiming at in your life is on track, or you need to make some adjustments to go at that. And I wanted that accountability, that high accountability for that. And that's kind of what this financial planner does. And I'm kind of trying to instill that in my kids. It's hard because they don't make a lot of money yet. So it's hard to plan. We don't have much money. You know, they're like, Dad, I just have enough. I barely even have enough, you know, but they're thinking about it. And that's what matters. Even if you save $5, it's teaching you the lesson, you know, and that will compound over time. And so I just think that's so important for people that are looking to buy a house to have a plan.
Well, what I've learned is that sometimes, and I talk about this a lot, sometimes you do everything right and it still doesn't go exactly according to plan. And so being intentional with your money and having a positive mindset and really understanding who you are and why you're doing what you're doing really forces you that when life's and has these things that pop up and these unexpected things, it allows you to stay more calm. Not that you're not going to have moments of just like sheer panic or whatever. And so, John, you don't even really know my story. And I don't even think most of the podcast really truly understands, but to give you a little bit of a background, we basically bought a very expensive big luxury property, and we did it, and we found out that my daughter was coming while we were in escrow at the end of an escrow. And we had this sort of series of life events that kind of transpired that put us in a little bit of a financial bind. So number one, she came 8 weeks, 2 days early. She spent 47 days in NICU. For anybody who is self-employed, you know, you can understand and appreciate when you're full commission, like what that's going to do when you're basically taking out this huge chunk of your life, right, to go deal with this medical situation that is happening in the backdrop, right? Around the same time, mortgage started slowing. Okay. And so now we have this kind of compounding thing. And so my husband and I did the uber responsible thing. We're like, hey, we didn't necessarily ever intend to stay in this big luxury property for a huge long period of time. We're going to go ahead and we're going to sell the property. Okay, great. So we put it on the market. Property goes under contract. We do not know if it was the buyer, the buyer's agent, or the inspector. Somebody leaves a half bath water running. It runs for 3.5 days. It does over $400,000 worth of damage to the
property. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It does. And now we're dealing with a huge scenario of 6 to 9 months of rehab, mold, like the buyer falls out. Like it's kind of a whole disaster, right? And so many people in this period of time in my life that I've been going through this crazy financial just pandemonium, right? And first of all, for those of you who think like you have imposter syndrome, hello, me too, because I teach about money, I educate about money, I help people with money. And here I am like living in not quite financial ruin, but pretty much. And I had to step back and remember who I am and where my intention is and where I'm going, and understanding that so many of the factors, maybe I didn't make every step perfectly along this path. That part is true, but I made very intentional steps, right? And there's a lot of unknown and factors that I could not control. And so I mind a couple of, you know, moments where it's like bathroom floor moments where you're just on the floor sobbing because life just seems like it's hit you upside the head. I still have also been able to step back and really say to myself, you know what? you are being intentional, you are taking the right steps forward, and that's all you can do, right? I mean, I couldn't control any of that. There was literally nothing I could do to affect all of these different scenarios, right? Trust me, I am a classic overthinker. I have gone back and back and back to ask myself, could I do things wrong or different? You know, could I do things differently? And truthfully, the answer is no. Like, I really probably wouldn't have done anything differently. And so, you know, I need people to hear that sometimes when you're intentional with your money, it doesn't go exactly like you thought it was going to go. It doesn't always work out the way you thought it was going to work out. And that is okay. But if you're living intentionally with your money, it is a lot more of a calm that sort of plays over your life than the constant calm on the water paddling like mad underneath.
Yeah, it's so good. What a story. For that, you hear about that stuff where these houses get under contract and something happens in the middle of the sale. Like, that's amazing just to think of how you have to deal with that.
The realtors, literally almost every realtor I've had this conversation with is like, that is the worst story I've ever heard. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Welcome. Welcome to my life and the crazy thing.
We had one that the pipe broke between the last inspection and going to close, you know, like in it, you know, something like that. But you know, you've been in the business so long that something's going to happen and you just got to deal with it. And you're right. Like, it's a little cliche, but I think of the word fail, first attempt in learning. You know, if you think about that, as long as you just keep learning and you keep trying and you don't give up, you're gonna succeed eventually. It's just the pain and the struggle makes you stronger, you know, and it's hard. But it's really hard when you're going through it. And you feel like that you're by yourself and there's not going to be an end and you don't know, you don't see the light to get out of this situation. And it eventually comes, you know. I always say you find what you're looking for. And you got to go out and you just got to keep looking and it'll come. And you got to have some faith that it's going to happen. And it does. It always does. I know in my life, I've had some moments too, where you're not sure how things are going to come together. And it just always does. Maybe not the way you think, maybe sometimes better. You know, you just don't know. You got to be open to that. And an overthinker is going to think this is how it needs to go sometimes. And if it doesn't go that way, then you really get off track. And you can't adjust very easy sometimes. So you got to have an open mind to get through stuff.
I know this is going to surprise you because we work in mortgage, but you know, prior to this entire situation, I was a bit of a control freak, pretty much like most people, right? In our space who are pretty successful, they tend to be control freaks and like need everything to go a certain way. And I joke because my dad was like making this comment and I was like, just so we're clear, if I thought that I had any illusion of control, if the last 2-3 years have taught me anything, it's that there is no such thing. And so all we can control is our intention, is our thought process, is what we're basically putting out into the world and the steps that we are taking, you know, the aligned steps forward. And again, the premise of this podcast was built on your life, your terms, right? Because so many people feel like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or we're exactly where I want to be, or whatever. Well, the truth is that getting there is like, it's a process, right? And so number one, you have to give yourself a lot of grace, like in that process, right? But you also can't just be flying blindly either, right? Like you don't get on a plane and say, man, I hope the pilot has an idea of where we're going, right? Like you hope that he knows to look at the instruments and he's done his research and he knows how to get us to from point A to point B, right? And it's the same here. With money, it's the same, that you just need to think that through, right? And take the time to step back. And that, I think, actually is one of the hardest things, is taking the time to step back. Because when you do take that time and you do take that opportunity, you're going to find that you failed at some things, or that you haven't done things as intentionally as you wanted to. Or, oh my gosh, like, look at all this debt that I created that I have no idea where the money went. Like, I can't tell you, as we're unpacking this, all this crap back into our house, I'm like, why did I buy all of this stuff?
Oh,
like, I'm looking around like, what?
Yes. So much. So much. You know, I think there's something that you mentioned earlier, maybe before we started, about how you want to counsel people on their mortgage and be careful of, you know, getting too much debt. I always tell people I'm the mortgage guy that doesn't want you to have a mortgage. I want you to have a plan to pay it off, you know.
And I've
done that. It took me a while. I did it in my life and figured out how to do that, and then figured out a plan how to spend that money in a different way. I would tell you, one of the things was it wasn't that eventful. I paid off my house and I was like, it doesn't feel that exciting. I don't know how, I know it sounds like a big thing in my life, but I don't know, you know, it wasn't as exciting. It's great. It's a goal I want a lot of people to have. When you're buying that house, it's so emotional in that moment. And sometimes you get caught up in it, of the vision of what it's going to be like in this new house or whatever that's driving that emotion. But you got to stop and think, what is the bigger goal? Like, where am I going to be 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? Where am I? Am I trying to pay this off, or am I trying to just pay my bills? And that's where our job can really, if people allow us to help them walk through that, which not everybody does, but when you can, man, you can make an impact. And that's when you feel like you're doing something in our job, like you make a difference, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Well, and it is so true. I actually get super pissed off and super mad that our industry has done this total disservice, in my opinion, to the space of only making it about interest rate. And I talk all the time about, no, I mean, I'm not saying that interest rate doesn't matter. Obviously it matters, but like, it is probably only in maybe the top five of most important factors, right? And like, I would say that the number one most important thing in our space when it comes to large debt, not just large debt in the mortgage side, but any large debt you're going to take out, is making sure that you're having a conversation with an expert, right? That actually is going to like think it through and ask you questions and challenge your viewpoints, because we challenge the viewpoint of our customers, right? Like, I'm not saying we won't give you what you want. Absolutely, we will if you qualify for it. But it's my job, it's my fiduciary responsibility to be pushing back on you, right? And saying, hey, John, like, have you thought about this? And you told me you wanted this, and this does not align with that, right? And like, this would probably align better with you, right? And like, having these kind of conversations. And so it upsets me that, you know, some big players in our space have spent billions of dollars in advertisement to just convince our entire society that interest rate is the only governing factor when it comes to a mortgage. And in my opinion, it's purely not true, right? It's definitely one of the bigger factors for sure. But I think it's because they don't really care about alignment or about what you want for your financial goals or your financial future. They care about making sure that you take out the loan and that they make maximum dollar, right? And that they are getting what they need in the space, as opposed to true advisors, right? In any space, mortgage or otherwise, they care about what it is as your end game. Like, what is your intention? What are you looking for? How do you want to live your life, so that we can make sure to align what's happening on the back end with that goal?
Yeah, that you're one that believes in education, and that's so important. Our industry is turning more and more into just a fulfillment industry. You just go online and you get a rate, and that they people need to educate themselves, I guess. But there's a lot of us out there that still believe that we make a difference through this education. So keep preaching it. It's great. It's important.
Well, I literally, and I don't know if you can see it behind me, but I actually wrote a whole entire book on it called Mortgage 101, The Secret Sauce to Home Buying. Secret sauce, because peanut butter, you know, PBJ mortgage, making mortgage simple, assembles a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So there's like the pouring peanut butter on the house. And the whole objective was, we save so many deals over the course of time. And a lot of times we had to save them because people just didn't understand up front. They didn't ask enough questions. They didn't understand where people were at. And it really upset me. And I was like, look, if they don't want to use me for the mortgage, like, that's fine, right? Like, I'm not going to force them to say, oh, you know, you have to use us. But what I am going to say is, look, please, 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 at least have an understanding of like what the big rock should look like, so that if for some reason those things are not happening, you could like raise your hand and be like, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure this is supposed to be happening and it's not happening. Like, why is it not happening, as far as that goes? Man, I have absolutely loved this conversation. It's been so inspiring for me, just because I do think it is so important. And I love that you're living that out, right? That you're another person in my space who not only believes in education, but is actually living it out, right? Like, you're helping your kids with that. You're you're helping them align their own future. And as parents, I mean, there's no bigger or better aim than that, right? Helping our kids walk down that same aligned, intentional path. And so tell the viewers, you know, how they may be able to find you if they want to look you up. I'm assuming LinkedIn, since you're a LinkedIn guy.
Yeah, I love LinkedIn. Kind of my favorite spot, but yeah, you know, my handle, I guess, is the John Donnelly on LinkedIn. You can get right to me. You know, my role is to lead sales at Service First Mortgage. If you want to find out more about how we structure, you know, our loan officers, our branches, that type of thing, I'd love to visit with you. If you want to ask questions about any of the tools or books or anything that we mentioned today, I'd love to talk to you about that too. So I'm passionate about just helping people and giving back. And, you know, I even kind of meet with some of my friends' kids and that type of thing, because it's just, you know, it's just when you find people that need that information, you want to give it to them so they can have a better life. I think our job as a parent is to make our ceiling our kids' floor in life and go from there. So that's kind of my mantra of what my goal is.
I love that. Well, again, thank you so much or whatever. And if you do need some free resources about looking to purchase a house or, oh gosh, so many different financial resources, you can always find those in our bio. Our aim here at Financial Mastery Simplified is simply to allow you to succeed your life, your terms, right? Especially from the financial aspect. And so thank you so much again, John, for being here today. And I hope this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified was helpful. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.